This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Welcome along. Hello. It is a brand new episode of the Fun Kids Science Weekly. My name is Dan, and I'm delighted that you're joining me on this dance here through dangerous kind of stuff. This is the show we talk about the most amazing, weird, and deadly things in the universe. Today, we're learning about the most evil vegetable in the world. Also, you can find out what it's like to be an actual vet. And we've got some news of where the original cave people came from. That's on the way after we get a brand new episode of Techno Mum, where all your gadget questions get answered.
Techno Mum, engineering explorers.
It's the swimming gala today. Pity I came second to last in my race. I wish I was as fast as my friend Ryan. He can clear one whole length in 30 seconds. I think he's secretly a dolphin.
Hey, why so sad? I thought you did brilliantly.
Nice try, Mum. I was terrible. What I need is someone to invent turbo flippers. Or, I don't know, underwater rocket blasters.
So what you need is a marine engineer.
A marine engineer?
Marine engineers design and build things which will operate in water. So that might mean at sea, in a river or reservoir, even in a swimming pool. One of the oldest types of marine engineering is naval architecture. That's designing watercraft.
Watercraft? You mean boats, right?
There's more to watercraft than boats. For starters, boats come in all shapes and sizes, from a small dinghy to a huge cargo ship. And then there are submarines and exploration vessels which travel to the deepest depths of the sea.
And don't forget the turbo flippers.
Naval architects will figure out the best way for these vessels to be propelled, which means thinking about power and engine design. Watercraft need to be able to change directions and stop, so naval architects will design steering systems and understand how anchors work. They also need to make sure that the vessels are safe and comfortable places in which people can travel and work. Things can behave very differently at sea, so they need to have studied hard to learn the effect that water has on machinery and materials.
Yeah, no one wants a rusty boat.
Then you've got the oceanic engineers. Oceanography is the study of oceans themselves, including things which live in them. Scientists in this field use lots of equipment to gather and analyse samples and take readings. That equipment has to be able to cope with the demands of a watery workplace, and marine engineers are the experts.
Cool! Imagine you could travel to the bottom of Loch Ness and find the monster.
And in case you think marine engineering is just bobbing around in boats or slipping into underground caves, check out this video. This is the Royal Navy's Griffon hovercraft. It's used in combat and for search and rescue missions. As you can imagine, it's a really complex vessel, and learning to operate it can take months.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to crash that by accident.
Well, this is where engineers have put their heads together. Software engineers at Birmingham University have been working with marine engineers to capture video from the hovercraft as it carries out its duties. This is then used in virtual reality simulators back on dry land to help train people up before they get on board.
You see, if I had one of those, I'd definitely have beaten Ryan in the freestyle.
And been disqualified.
Cool job, though.
It's just one of loads of cool jobs in engineering.
Engineering Explorers, created with support from the Institution of Engineering and Technology to celebrate the Year of Engineering. Find out more at funkidslive.com/technomum.
Loads more chances for you to catch up with all the episodes of Techno Mum for free on your phone right now. Get to the Fun Kids app. You can also find them wherever you get your shows from, maybe the place you downloaded this, iTunes possibly, and they're always there for you at funkidslive.com. Now, Connor from Fun Kids, he's been chatting to a TV star all about what it's like being a vet. They are a vet, by the way. It's not just some randomer off Strictly having a little guess for you. So if you love your animals, stay there. You can hear more from them in just a sec on the Fun Kids Science Weekly. First, I want to say a quick hello to Ashton, who is 10. They've left us a review over on the iTunes podcast store to say how interesting they find the show. Incredible, Ashton. That's exactly what we like to hear. Thank you so much for getting in touch. If you want a shout out on this show, you need to do what Ashton's done. Open up the iTunes podcast store, find the Fun Kids Science Weekly, and there are three things that you need to do once you've logged on. You need to leave us some stars. 5 is always helpful. Also, leave your name so I know exactly who you are and I can say hello to you on the radio. There's a little comment box. Let us know what you think. Maybe you've got a science question that you want answered by an expert. That is the best place to let me know, and I'll try and give you a shout out in the next few weeks. To get it, leave the Fun Kids Science Weekly a review on the iTunes podcast store.
Hey Dan, it's Connor here from the Pop 7 at 7, and as a big fan of Science Weekly, I love hearing from all the experts you have on, so I decided to help out. Now, I've heard that all you listening are really curious about what it's actually like to be a vet, so I got in touch with Rory Callum, who is a star vet on the Pets Factor, a show on CBBC, and here is what he had to say. Hello, welcome to Fun Kids. You're with Connor, and today I have a very exciting guest. I have Dr. Rory Callum from The Pets Factor on CBBC. So, Rory, how are you?
Hi, Connor, how are you? Yeah, I'm not too bad, thank you, fella.
So, talk us through Pets Factor exactly and kind of what we can expect from this series, because, of course, it's series 4, but what's going on in this series of Pets Factor?
So for those that haven't seen it, it's essentially, it follows me, James, Kat and Cheryl, four vets, and we're dotted around the country, and it just shows what we do day in, day out at our work and in our jobs. And the really exciting thing about series 4, and I'm not going to give away any spoilers because I'd have my wrist slapped a little bit, but the thing is, we've gone bigger and better this series. We've got things in and out of the clinic. We've got some exciting new animals. So yeah, lots of really cool stuff to see.
Well, that's something as well that I was thinking, how cool is it to have been a vet and then all of a sudden you bring like what you do to the CBBC screens for all the kiddies to see? So something that I would love to know, as well as everyone else, is what is a funny moment that we could maybe expect? Maybe a little teaser of this series.
Ooh, well, I mean, there's a lot of bits and pieces in there. I mean, for me, there's no real funny bits, but I tell you what, you should keep an eye out for some possible big cats in this series and some exotic animals, because they are so, so cool. And I definitely get a bit up close and personal with some not so happy guests. Which I will leave there, and I'm sure you guys will see.
Yeah, so we was actually thinking here, it'd be really cool to see some exotic animals. So compared to last series, did you feel that this one, maybe you explored a different variety of animals compared to what you had done before?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I'm sort of very bread and butter, what I call of a vet. I see my dogs and cats, and I'm very lucky that I see some cool snakes and some little bearded dragons and guinea pigs and rabbits, which is all great, but we really did push the boundaries a little bit this series. So we went out of the clinic and we went to a few places around the country, and we saw some really, really cool stuff, and we met some amazing other vets as well that work with these guys, these amazing animals sort of day in, day out, and we really got to do stuff. I got to do stuff that I've never been able to do before, and really sort of show you guys and the kids at home sort of what they're all about.
That's amazing. I mean, over here at Fun Kids as well, we're really big on animals. We love the animals over here. We do lots of stuff to do with different pets and pets at home and all things like that. So one thing for any kid that may be listening that's thinking, oh, I'd like to be a vet one day, what would you say is the best bit of advice for becoming a vet?
Well, that's a really, really good question. And honestly, I wish someone had told me this when I was a kid. And I wanted to be a vet. I was 4 years old when I got my first dog. And really, for any kids out there that want to be vets, the main thing is, I mean, obviously work hard, but also enjoy your studies. But the main thing is go and get as much hands-on experience with animals as you physically can. Now, I personally, from literally the age of 8, I was working on farms, I was helping with lambing, I was going and riding horses, I was going and helping at a wildlife centre. So all of these amazing things, and it's just invaluable experience of handling animals. And honestly, I think if I hadn't done all of that stuff as a kid, and I was very lucky that I lived in the countryside, but if I hadn't done that stuff, I don't think I'd be where I was today.
Exactly. I think that's what's brilliant about this show as well, because for everyone watching, especially me, I mean, I do watch the show. I think it's a great show.
Amazing.
But when I watch it, it's you start to understand what a vet actually does and how cool it can actually be and how amazing it is working with all of these different animals. And just linking in with that, just to sort of finalise, what would you say is the coolest bit about being a vet?
To be honest, and I fully agree. If anyone asks me what's the best thing about being it is the best job in the world. I know I'm biased. You've got a very cool job too. But I think it's the best job in the world. I love every day. And the big thing is, no 2 days are the same. We see so much variety and just to see excitable puppies 1 second and then have to deal with an emergency the next minute, and then going out to someone's house and just vaccinating their cats and doing all these different things. And each is being so different, and each animal is so different, and each owner is so different, and getting an insight into their lives is just amazing. And it's not, I wouldn't change it for the world.
The fact that you might be dealing with cats, and then the next minute you might be dealing with exotic animals, that's really exciting to be seeing. So we are all looking forward to the show over here at Fun Kids, as are all the listeners, I'm sure.
Brilliant. That's really good to hear. And yeah, it should be an absolute cracker.
Brilliant, Rory. Well, thanks so much for your time, and we can't wait to check out the next episode, which is on Wednesdays at 5:30 on CBBC.
That's the one, and you can catch each episode a week early on the iPlayer.
Brilliant. Well, there we go then. That is it. That was Rory Callum from The Pets Factor here on Fun Kids. Thanks, Rory.
Thanks. See you later.
See you later.
Now, remember, if you want an expert like Rory to answer one of your burning questions, leave a comment and 5 stars for the Fun Kids Science Weekly on iTunes, and Dan will sort it for you. Keep listening for my Pop 7 at 7 tonight. I'll see you there.
Let's do this week's Dangerous Dan. Today, we're talking about the vegetable with the most terrifying name in the universe. The death cap mushroom. It starts killing you before you've even realised it. Just a few bites of this feisty fungus is going to do the trick. Now, the problem is they look perfectly normal, right? They grow all over the northern hemisphere. They're found sprouting from the soil under trees in the wild forests of Europe, Asia, America. And apparently they even taste quite pleasant, but you need to boil them correctly. You need to cook them. Don't go foraging for them in the wild because it kills a lot of people. It supposedly even caused the death of some Roman emperors. The problem is it starts killing straight away as well, but you don't notice it until it's too late. This mushroom, it's chocked full of a poison called amanitin. And about a day after you've eaten it, you start to feel tired, you start to feel dizzy, maybe a tiny bit sick as well. But what you don't realise is that this poison, it's destroying your livers, your kidneys, and it's too late. The poison, it's taken over your body, and it can't really be cured, which is why it's so brutal. As soon as you've realised that you've been poisoned, when you start to feel a little bit rough, the death cap mushroom, it's killed you already. So I've got some huge news that will change everything you ever thought you knew about turtles in just a sec. First, let's catch up with one of our favourites and the smartest people here at the Fun Kids Science Weekly. It's Professor Hallux, and today it's an episode about hearing.
Hallux's Hearing Help Desk.
Professor Hallux, do you want a cup of tea?
No, I don't need to have a wee. Thanks for asking. It's a weird question.
Cup of tea.
Uppity? You're calling me uppity? Well, that's nice.
Professor? Professor! Hang on.
I said, do you want a cup of tea?
Oh, yes. Love one. No need to shout.
I think there might be something not quite right with your hearing, Professor. Perhaps you got water in your ears at the scientist's swimming gala.
What? I think there may be a problem with my hearing. Maybe I got water in my ears at the science swimming gala. That triple front flip dive was awfully tricky, you know.
It's not the only tricky thing around here.
Ears are brilliantly fascinating, you know. Why don't you tell us all about them while I try to get this water out of my ears?
Idea. Well, ears are in charge of collecting sounds and sending them to your brain, which gives meaning to those sounds. So, if you hear your cat meow, your brain lets you know that the sound is a meow and not a dog's bark. And that's not all. Ears also help you keep your balance. So, if you bend over to pick up your cat, you won't fall down, or even worse, fall on your cat.
Watch out for Fluffy. So how can your ears help you with your balance?
Well, the inner ear helps you with your balance. In the inner ear, there's a part that tells you if your head moves up or down, and a part that tells you if your head moves around, to the front, back, left, or right. Your brain knows to keep your eyes fixed on a point as your head moves, so you don't lose your balance.
Wow, that's cool. Why do we need two ears? It can't be just to make sure sunglasses don't fall off.
It has nothing to do with sunglasses, Professor. Your body is a finely tuned machine, and ears are designed to pick up sound from all around you. When you have hearing loss in one ear, it can be hard to hear some noises, or know where they're coming from, whether behind you, in front of you, or to your side. Having two ears allows you to know where a sound is coming from. It's something called localization. Like when you hear a siren coming closer from a certain direction, you know where it's coming from and to get out of the way. It's just not as comfortable being in noisy places without this ability. And quite simply, two ears let us hear more sounds, as many as four times more than with just one ear. And another reason why it's better having two ears is so we hear sounds around us better. If you've ever had a radio with a broken speaker, you'll know that even if you can still hear the music, it's not as loud or clear and can even sound a bit odd. This is the same for our ears. With two ears picking up sounds from our environment, you get an equal amount of sounds from the left and the right.
Just like two heads are better than one, two ears are also better.
That's right. Figuring out where sounds are coming from and reacting to them is something we learn as babies. Newborn babies move and their eyes get bigger when they hear a loud noise. Most loud sounds will make a baby move a little. This is known as the startle reflex.
Well, I have given my head a really good shake, but neither of my ears, left or right, seems to be working right, nurse.
Poor Professor. Tell you what, I'll put the kettle on.
You want to put a bet on? This is no time for gambling.
I think we may need to get your ears checked, Professor.
Get my deers decked out. I don't even have any deers.
It's going to be a long week.
Alex's Hearing Help Desk, with support from Phonak. Find out more at funkidslive.com/Alex.
Let's see what science has been all over the news this week. Genetic work on bone fragments of a girl found in a cave in Siberia, that's in Russia, shown that she was half Neanderthal, the most early humans. And she is one of the first known creatures that belonged to two separate species, because they also think that she was half Denisovan. And these were two types of humans who lived around 40,000 years ago. Also, a British-made satellite has been launched into space to make the first global maps of wind behaviour. The craft will get its data and it will study wind by firing a powerful laser into the atmosphere to trace the movement of air particles. Now get this, the rocket, it was due to take off on Tuesday, but it was delayed 2 days because of high winds. And finally, scientists have found evidence showing that turtles once lived without their shells. A fossil has been discovered dating back 228 million years. It was found near China, and it's bigger than a double bed. The scientists say that it looks like a turtle, but it's got no shell, and they think this might mean that the creatures that want to eat it now weren't around back then. It is Double Dan time on the Fun Kids Science Weekly. Bear with me, because you're listening to me, Dan, hello, and I'm about to introduce also me, hosting another series. It's called Britain's Digital Railways. I do it with Bex from the club on Fun Kids. This is where we travel all over the country, finding more about trains of the future.
Britain's Digital Railway.
Whether it's passengers on a fast intercity service, a branch line to the coast, or commuters travelling to work on a tram or tube, Britain's railways are certainly busy. Bex and Dan are joining the passengers and learning that the number of people using the railways is expected to grow, and that things are going to have to change.
Hey Dan, how long till our train gets here?
Another 10 minutes? Why don't you find us something to watch online whilst we're waiting?
Oh, this looks cool. This video is called The Digital Railway. Let's check it out.
Today, Britain's railway network carries over 3 million people every day. That's 1.3 billion journeys each year. And with the population set to increase, within 20 years, there will be double the amount of rail passengers.
Oh my goodness! Where will all these passengers go? Maybe we'll all be like squashed in, like sardines maybe. Or maybe they might make double-decker trains? One of those?
I think I've got it, though. Maybe we'll have to hang on to the train roof, you know, a bit like ninjas in an action movie.
Yeah, chill out, Dan. Although, actually, no, it might be quite cool to hang out on the roof like a ninja.
That's certainly cool.
I mean, I'm sure they'll just make more trains and just shove them on the track. Then Bob's your uncle, room for everyone.
Won't that cause a load of train traffic jams, though, and affect the environment?
Yeah, I suppose. You might need to come up with a way to make the railways super safe and super clean with all the extra trains.
What if each train could carry more people? You could perhaps get rid of the seats and just make everyone stand up?
Yeah, come on. You moan more than anybody if you can't get a seat.
Fair point. I do like a seat, I can't lie. Maybe trains could just go faster. You know, fill them with rocket fuel and let them go at, like, 300 miles an hour. That way they can make journeys faster and take all the extra passengers.
Yeah, but to go really fast, you want the track to be as straight and as flat as possible, right? I mean, too many curves and hills, you might have to slow down. Just think, if you go too fast on a bumpy track, you might actually end up in orbit.
Gosh, it's tough, isn't it?
Or maybe they'll just build, like, a million more miles of super track. That way there could be room for tons of new trains.
Just imagine, though, when you look out of the window, all you'd see was track and trains. Cool, if you like trains.
Yeah, I mean, not everyone is gonna want trains zooming past their house, and building a load of new tracks is gonna be expensive, right? So that doesn't really sound like a solution either.
I suppose that means they're gonna have to work with the track that already exists.
Dan and Bex are right. The railway network has to work with what it's got. Luckily, like with many other parts of life, technology has advanced to help. With careful planning, the capacity on the network can be increased. That means more trains carrying more passengers. It's a challenge that engineers are excited about, and one they're calling the digital railway. It might sound a bit like a computer game, but it just means using the very latest tech developments to get more trains on the network, travelling more efficiently and safely.
Right on time. Come on, hurry up.
Let me guess. You want to bag a seat.
Britain's Digital Railway, with support from the Royal Academy of Engineering. Find out more at funkidslive.com/railway.
If you want more episodes of Britain's Digital Railways to find out some stuff about trains of the future, we've got them all that you can download on the free Fun Kids app. It's on iTunes and over at funkidslive.com. And that's the best place to get all of our amazing science series. Some that you've heard today, we've got loads more there for you as well. Remember, if you want a shout out on this show in the next few weeks, you need to let me know by leaving us a review on the iTunes podcast store. So easy, just find the Fun Kids Science Weekly, let us know what you think. And you can listen to Fun Kids on your DAB digital radio on that free Fun Kids app, and as always at funkidslive.com.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.